Good afternoon, everyone. It's beautiful to see the sun shining today. About noon, I was wondering what the day was going to be like as the third round of storms came through. Thank you for all your encouragement. Several of you asked me in the lobby, are you ready? It's too late now. I'm up here. But I want to say this to the men, and this is unsponsored by the elders or anybody. It's just Tom Young's thoughts. I think all of men should be ready to do what I'm doing tonight. David called me yesterday, said, hey, I'm sick. I'm not going to be able to be there tomorrow. Can you do it? First thought ran through my mind was, that's 24 hours. No. But then I thought, he asked me, so yes, I can do it. And fortunately, I have some sermon outlines and those kind of things. But what would have happened had I got here tonight and someone said, are you ready? And I'd have said, no. Which one of you men would have taken my spot? I got one. Good. So there's one who's always ready. So we need to be ready. 20 years ago, in 1997, I got to Lodges Field in the Azores. It's an Air Force base, very small, in a little island in Portugal. There were 20 people at the church. We met in a home on Sundays because if we met at the chapel on base, they would take our contribution and they would decide how you did it. So we met in homes on Sunday, and we met at the chapel on Wednesday nights. When I got there, we were having tapes that were being sent to us, and we would use those as sermons. The preacher that they were having the tapes from was Max Licato, a name that all of you have heard. Back then, he was okay in some respects, but then it got to where the tapes that we were receiving, we could not, in good conscience, put before the congregation because the teaching was false. So that left five men to decide, what are we going to do? So we all sat around, and we had all spoken a time or two. We had no choice. We had to learn how to preach. Thankfully, my father-in-law at the time was a preacher, so he sent me a whole bunch of outlines, and I was able to use those and modify them and go from there. But you never know when you find yourself in a position where you're going to be needed to do something. So we should all be ready. You know, it's kind of interesting. I told Diane the first song we sang, the first line was, time is filled with swift transition. I'm like, is that a note for me with my sermon? Swift transition. So, Brother Northern went fast this morning in class and in the sermon, so I've got a few extra minutes of his that I'll take up. So the United States of America, a place where you can be anything you want to be. We're passing a lot of laws recently, and one of them that comes to mind is the Stolen Valor Law. Have you guys heard of that? It's where people imitate military folks. They try to go claim that they're a war hero and get all these benefits, and they wear medals and do these things. Isn't it sad that we had to pass that that's a crime? You can't do that. You can be what you want to be. Well, you can't always be what you want to be, but you can think you are. Air Force, Airman, Army, Soldier. Can you be an Airman or a Soldier? Sure you can. But just by saying that doesn't make you one. You have to go through basic training. You got to go through training and all those things. So the lesson tonight is titled, Who is a Christian? Now, it's not going to be one of we're Christian, they're not, and all of that. It's going to be kind of looking from afar who is a Christian. We're going to talk about the definitions and the characteristics. So what we're hoping to get from this is when you see someone, you will be able to tell if they're a Christian or not. A lot of people say they are. A lot of us say we are. But are we? It's easier to say it than it is to do it. The term Christian is found only three times in the Bible, depending on the version. Acts 11:26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Acts 26:28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. 1 Peter 4:15-16, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. So three different verses that use it in three different ways. Acts 11:26 says we're disciples. We all know a disciple is a learner, a follower, one who learns of Christ. Acts 26:28, we learn that being a Christian does not appeal to everyone. Agrippa said almost. How many people do we know that have said almost, have gotten very close, understand what they need to do, but yet haven't taken the final step that they need? And you can talk to them. and they know what they need to do. They can tell you what they need to do. They just, for whatever reason, have chosen not to. And then 1 Peter 4:15-16, we learn that being a Christian sometimes brought suffering to those who cherish the name. People are suffering around the world, not like they did in Bible times, but there are some places in the world where people suffer. But let's look at the word Christian. The biggest part of Christian, obviously, is Christ. There's no way you can be a Christian without serving Christ. You know, we talk about not taking the Lord's name in vain, and that's a very good thing that we need to teach our children and our older people, and we see people do it all the time. But a lot of people take the word Christian in vain, too, use it very flippantly. Anyone that many people say, well, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, we're all Christians, we're good. But if you really break the word down, it means you have to serve Christ. So we will look at it from that respect this evening. The "en" on the end of the word just means having to do with. So Christian means having to do with Christ. So what are some names that are synonymous with Christian? We talk about brother, sister, Acts 21:20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law." A fellow believer united to another by the bond of affection. So we understand what brother means. Another word that's used is a word that's misused a lot in the religious world, and that's the word saint. We hear that a lot, saint. A lot of people will say, what? I'm no saint, and they use it in that regard. But as a Christian, we are a saint. Philippians 4:21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. We are saints. And we need to understand as a Christian that we are a saint. We do not have to have 2 confirmed miracles to be determined a saint. We're a saint if we have obeyed the gospel. Servant of Christ is the same as Christian. Servant means devoted to one another or devoted to another. We're devoted to Christ. And then finally, obedient children is another name for Christian as well. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So those are some words that we can use interchangeably with Christian, but now we're going to get into the main 2 points of the lesson. And this one is definitions of a Christian, and then the second point will be characteristics of a Christian. Now, when I say definitions, we're not going to do textbook definitions and those things. I think you'll kind of see where we're going as we start. But first, let's understand that not all religious people are Christians. Does everybody agree with that? That's a given. Not all religious people are Christians. Acts 17:22, Paul stood among the Athenians and said, "I perceive you are very religious." But he also saw that they had things for the unknown God. So just being religious doesn't mean you're a Christian. Not all good people are Christians. Have you ever heard that argument or that discussion? Oh, he's a good person. Being a good neighbor and minding one's business and are good qualities that every Christian should possess. But these in themselves does not make one a Christian. Many sinners possess these characteristics. You know some sinners that are good people? Do anything for you? But they're just not focused on God or on the right thing. You could be a good neighbor all your life and never be a Christian. Or you could have a good neighbor that lives beside you all of their life and they would never be a Christian. Not everyone who attends church is a Christian. Now I say that for both in and out of the brotherhood. Church is the big word. Not everyone who attends church is a Christian. And unfortunately, not everyone who attends the Lord's church is a Christian too. We've known people who attend church for years with the body, but have never obeyed the gospel. We're thankful that they continue to come, they continue to hear, they continue to see and be around us, but yet they've never chosen to be a Christian and to follow God's word. Many wear names that do not honor Christ, like we talked about earlier, Christian. Do you know anyone that uses a hyphenated Christian? And what do we mean by that is, if you ask them, and unfortunately we ask it in the wrong way, we normally say this, "What religion are you?" And what do they answer? Catholic, Baptist, Methodist. Some people say Church Christ instead of saying Christian. We should say Christian. There shouldn't be 2 words. We talked about on a Wednesday night, during a Wednesday night class, that not all follow the Bible. They have their own creeds, different things that they use. Matthew 15:13 says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. So now let's get into ways that we can define a Christian. In faith, he is a believer. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is and that he rewards those that seek him. So you have to believe as God is the creator, the great rewarder, the sustainer of life, and the judge of all men. He believes in Christ as the Word made flesh, the Savior of the world, the mediator between God and man, the risen Lord, and the head of the church. John 1:1-14 says the Word was with God in the beginning and then became flesh. 1 Timothy 2:5, one mediator between God and man. Is that a priest? Is it another man? It's Jesus. The Bible says that one mediator between God and man is Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:18, Christ is the head of the church. And 1 Corinthians 15, he died and arose the third day. So we have to believe that. Believe in God, we have to believe in Christ to be a Christian because that's who we're serving. Since a true disciple is a learner and follower, the Christian must continue to learn and to follow daily. Why do you think the Bible teachers here or the elders ask the Bible teachers to ask Sunday morning and Wednesday night how many daily Bible readers? Do you think they're doing it as a count so they can go back and say we had 118 attend and only 62 read their Bible daily? I don't think so. I think it's more of a motivational for us when we look around the room and you see all the hands raised. We did that in Colorado Springs too, and the elders told us there, we want you to see that your brothers and sisters are studying the Word and that you need to do it too. And it helps us if we see others that are doing what we need to be doing to maybe to motivate us to do the same. We have to know the Bible to become better and to be a better follower. In influence, a Christian is a light. Matthew 5:14-16, Christians are to be a light to the world. We cannot keep our light hid. We must let it shine. How many times a year do we sing, "This Little Light of Mine"? Well, we sing it like four nights in a row or five, but it's at VBS, isn't it? That's the only time we ever sing it. Do we think about it any time other than VBS? We should, because we are the lights of the world. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, there's a lot of folks that will tell you that we're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I think most of us will agree with that. It's always been that to some degree. But as Christians, we are to be the light and let our light shine. You know, as I was thinking about this and studying this lesson, I thought, do we let our light shine as much as a Christian as we do about our, and I know this is not religious, but y'all will understand, about our Alabama and Auburn football support? Immediately, people know, most of us know exactly who we support, don't they? Can they say the same thing about us being a Christian? Do they know immediately upon meeting us that we're a Christian? Or if you see a fellow Christian out, yesterday I was somewhere and I had my Auburn shirt on and Alabama guy said something to me, you know, Roll Tide. So it's always something to talk about, but we shy away from the Christian aspect of it because we're kind of nervous and shy. I know I do. I have a lot of work to do in letting my light shine and being better with that. And we're also soldiers. We have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:3. There will be times where, as a Christian, you have to fight for what's right. There's just no way around it. You have to fight. Now, I don't know if any of you saw last week on the Alabama.com and on the radio this big deal. You know, these radio personalities in Birmingham, Rick and Bubba. I don't listen to Rick and Bubba. I don't care much for them. But Rick's daughter just came out saying she's gay. Rick came out on the radio saying that it's sinful and it's wrong and he's going to stand by the Bible and not his daughter. His daughter then came out and said, I'm a Christian. I'm gay. He's looking at it wrong. He's using the Bible wrong. So there was a big to-do. And both of them are using the Bible and the Scripture as basis for their beliefs. And it was interesting to read some of the posts that people put in there, how they think because if you stand for what's right, you're automatically wrong against the people that are in the wrong. So I say that to say this. Sometimes as a Christian, you have to fight for what's right. I'm not saying either one of them are right or that they're even Christians. It was just a family issue. And I think that we all know people within the brotherhood who years ago stood on a point or a principle that they believed was wrong. And then when something changed in the family dynamic, something changed in their belief pattern. We have to be very careful that we don't allow family situations and personal situations to change our beliefs in what is right or wrong. You have to stand for what's right. So let's look at the characteristics of a Christian. If you see someone and they're a Christian, hopefully you'll see these things. Number one, a Christian is a doer of the word. James 1, 21 through 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We have to put it into practice. Those of you that work or have been leaders at work, if you have people that work for you, do you know who the doers are? What usually happens? They get all the work, because you know they'll do the work. So as Christians, we should all be doers. People ought to know that we're putting what we're saying into practice. A Christian is one who is not in love with this world and the things in it. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's okay to enjoy the things that we have and to have things. It's just that they cannot be our priority. Materialism, prestige, and the honor of others is not our primary goal. If it is, we have to reconsider our life and what our priorities are. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. A Christian always has his priorities right. Now, does that mean we always have them right? Sometimes they get off kilter, don't they? Things come along that kind of change and we have to adjust. But a Christian always tries to have his or her priorities right and will make adjustments when necessary. Christian is one who is dead to sin, Romans 6, 1 through 14. Doesn't mean we don't sin. It means that's not our manner of lifestyle. That's not what we are after. Colossians 1, 13, we've been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So you should see a difference in a Christian after they've become a Christian. If we're no different than everybody else, our light's not shining and we're not a good influence. A Christian is one who studies, we talked about that already, 2 Timothy 2:15, must be able to rightly divide the word, and a Christian is one who will say, the Lord's will be done. We talk about that a lot, we pray it, we go over it, the Lord's will be done, but what do most of us try to do? Most of us try to guide the Lord in the will that we want done. It's very difficult to turn things over to God and let his will truly be done. But as a Christian, we need to work forward for that and try to do that. And finally, a Christian is one who forgives those that sin against him. Matthew 6, 14, 15. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We talked about that in class recently about forgiveness. Very difficult. The forgetting part is hard, but the forgiveness part we have to do. Because if we don't, we won't be forgiven. You know, I like to watch a lot of these crime shows like the First 48 and all of these. They're real true stories about murder and all these other things. And I know that probably sounds bad to some of you, but I like to watch the detective piece and how they go about catching these people. And the interesting part is, occasionally, they'll talk to them after the fact. They'll go back years later and talk to the family and see how things are going. And every now and then, you'll get a person who will say, I will never forgive that person for what he or she did. Really, what that's doing is ruining their life more than it is the other. But as a Christian, we need to understand that if we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. And that's something we have to think about. A Christian is one who has been baptized for the remission of sins. That's the step that puts us in a saved relationship with Christ. Most of the religious world will agree with everything I've said up until this point, this evening. And when we get to this point, all of a sudden there's a big divide. But the Bible is clear in Acts 2:38, Mark 16, and 1 Peter 3:21 that baptism is what saves us. And why did he choose that route? I don't know, but he did. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, people argue with that, what if it said, go stick your head in the sand three times and you'll be saved. People somewhere would say, well, why would we have to stick our head in the sand three times? The answer is that's what he told us to do. Now that's a simple analogy, but baptism is very clear that he tells us that's what we need to do. So, the challenge tonight is, do we exhibit the characteristics of a Christian? Do people know that we are one by the way we act, the things we do, the things we say, the way we live? If not, thankfully, all of us are alive and we can change things and become that person that we need to be. Not a checklist Christianity, though. We can't just go down these lists and say, yep, I've done that, I've done that. Remember the two who prayed that Jesus talked about? One of them said, I am thankful I am not like this person because I've done this, this, and this. And the other one simply said, forgive me for I am a sinner. We have to realize what we really are. So we must do all things to receive salvation. We must live our life as a Christian. We must be defined as a Christian and have those characteristics. So this evening, if you are not a Christian, you have the opportunity to come before us to confess Christ, and one of our elders will be down front to meet you, and we'd be happy to baptize you into Christ this evening if you need. If you are a Christian and you've fallen away and you need the prayers of the congregation and forgiveness, we're here to help you with that as well. Please stand as we sing.